Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
This measure sought to do something that no other constitutional amendment has ever done here in the state of California, and that is to strip a fundamental right from a protected class of citizens.
That's Dennis Herrera. He's city attorney for San Francisco, at least giving his perspective and the opponents of Prop 8 in California, an amendment to the California Constitution that effectively banned gay marriage in the last election cycle. His perspective on what it did, he says, take rights away from people. We're going to be talking about the challenge to the passage of Proposition 8 in California for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Friday afternoon, the 21st of November. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Amy Smith of the Alliance Defense Fund will be with us for the first few minutes of this hour. And then Dr. William Dembski, Senior Fellow for the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture and author of numerous books, including Understanding Intelligent Design and an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Objection Overruled, Responding to the Top 10 Objections to Intelligent Design. He'll be our guest. You know what the subject is, intelligent design, in about 10 minutes. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Amy Smith is an attorney for the Alliance Defense Fund. ADF attorneys are involved in the defense of the passage of Prop 8. Amy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
A lot of us outstate are a bit confused. I mean, a constitutional amendment is supposed to be just that, an amendment to the Constitution, kind of the final legal barrier on any kind of issue, and yet this one, voted in by California voters, is being challenged?
That's right. This was a classic exercise in democracy, Todd. Both sides had the opportunity to appeal to the people, and marriage won. Opponents should respect the result of this hard-fought campaign, just like we do all other campaigns.
Okay. What are the opponents of Prop 8 as it passed saying?
Well, they're making the classic revision versus amendment to the Constitution argument, but they're totally ignoring the fact that in America we respect the results of fair elections. And in California, the people have simply restored the definition of marriage that the Constitution has always assumed. Restoring the meaning of marriage is not revising the Constitution.
Okay, it sounds like a technicality, obviously one that at least the Supreme Court thinks they need to listen to in California. What's the difference between a revision and an amendment?
Sure. Well, it's a smart argument that they're making, but essentially what a revision does is it changes the actual structure of government, and that's not what Prop 8 does. Prop 8, all Prop 8 does is restore the definition of marriage to the Constitution. It does nothing to revise the structure of government in California. And if the opponents of Prop 8, if they had considered carefully the fact that people don't want to redefine marriage, they wouldn't be bringing these lawsuits.
Is this a last-ditch effort on their part to try and reinstate what had become the default position through the courts in California, that is legal gay marriage?
Sure. Well, this is one of the last things that they can do to try to force a redefinition on the people in California, even though now more than 6.1 million people have again voted to define marriage as a union of one man and one woman. And we think that those votes should be respected as a result of fair elections.
Don't they have to argue, in essence, that before Prop 8, the California Constitution somehow envisioned same-sex marriage explicitly in order for them to make the case that to amend the Constitution to prohibit it is taking rights away from people who had them formerly?
Sure, and that argument fails because that's never been a part of the Constitution. The Constitution has always laid out basic fundamental rights, and the people of the states, especially states like California, and in 30 other states that have defined marriage as a union of one man and one woman, should have the last vote and the voice in how marriage is defined in their states. So what we've seen in California is the voters clearly saying, no, in this state, marriage is the union of one man and one woman. And voters have approved that now in California twice and in 30 other states. And really across the country, all 30 states that have put marriage amendments on their ballots have passed. So Americans are standing up for the definition of marriage.
What is the disposition of the California Supreme Court, or what does it appear to be on this issue, especially given the fact that they've agreed to hear the case?
Sure. Well, we're pleased that they've agreed to hear the case. We want this issue resolved. We hope that it'll be resolved in our favor, and we hope that they will uphold the voice of the people in defining marriage as a union of one man and one woman. We think it's great that they have denied the requested stay, which would essentially put Prop 8 on the shelf until they heard this, heard and made a decision in this case. So we think that that's a good result. We were very pleased with that. We were pleased with them granting the intervention of the proponents of Prop 8, and what that means is that the people who put together the amendment will be allowed to defend it in court, and they will be able to make the proper arguments to protect the constitutionality of this amendment. So as far as, you know, we don't have a crystal ball, so we don't know what the California Supreme Court will do, but we're pleased with what they've done so far.
Andy is listening in St. Louis. Andy, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. The foolishness of the argument against Prop 8 is this. Homosexuals have never been denied the right to marry in the United States. The question is, why would they want to marry a person of the opposite sex?
Thank you very much, Andy. Well, Andy's point, well taken. They can marry, like everyone else can, someone of the opposite sex. Your thoughts there, Amy?
Well, of course they can marry someone of the opposite sex. That's always been their right, and no one's denying their right. All that Proposition 8 does is defend the traditional definition of marriage, which is the union of one man and one woman. That's what marriage amendments across this country do. That's what they're designed to do, and we think that in America that the rights and that the right of people to define marriage should be respected, and especially when they've been upheld in an election process like we just had in California, where over 6.1 million people in California voted for marriage.
Now, the question has been raised about, I've heard various numbers, but it's usually in the ballpark of 17,000 same-sex marriages performed before Prop 8's passage. What is going to become of those?
Well, it's my understanding that the California Supreme Court is also going to take that issue up in this case that the opponents of Prop 8 have brought. So that issue will be decided by the Supreme Court.
What do you think they're likely to do? Any guesses?
No, and you know what? I'm not sure what they're going to do. I just know that going forward from now on in California that the definition of marriage has been placed into their constitution. So those 17,000 marriages, you know, we'll see what the court says. And this is the argument that we made after the California Supreme Court redefined marriage in the In Re Marriage cases, where we asked the court to stay the effect of that decision until after the election on November 4th so that we wouldn't have, you know, potentially 17,000 marriages in a legal limbo, not knowing the status of their relationships. But the court denied us that. So now we have those 17,000 marriages that were legal when issued, but now we've got a definition of marriage in California that says, you know, marriage is a union of one man and one woman, and so the court's going to have to decide what to do with essentially the legal chaos that they created.
Amy, what happens if the California Supreme Court rules against past Prop 8?
Well, Todd, we don't think that's going to happen, and if it does, then we would have to evaluate the situation then. It would really depend on the content of the ruling. But we're hopeful that the court is going to follow its own precedent in this area and respect the results of fair election and uphold Prop 8, and that they will understand that that Prop 8 is not a revision to the Constitution, that is simply restoring the meaning of marriage in California.
Keith in Nebraska emails us with this question. He says, as the California Supreme Court has agreed to hear the cases challenging the passage of Prop 8, it would seem that the court is in a position to rule against the election result, that is, against the will of the people, if that's the case. What's the source of the court's authority? Is the court claiming to have authority that it does not actually have?
Well, what the court is doing is it's going to review the proposition. It doesn't have the authority to, that is within their jurisdiction to rule whether or not it's a revision or an amendment. Now, you know, if there's an issue where they overrule the will of the people, and we believe that it's a proper amendment, which of course we do, then we would address that as a separation of powers issue. But that's really probably more of, like I said earlier, a decision that we would have to make at the time. But we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will uphold Prop 8.
With only about 30 seconds here, Amy, if they do uphold Prop 8, what do you expect the opponents of Prop 8 to do next? About 30 seconds.
Well, I guess our hope at ADF is that they would respect the results of the election that happened on November 4th, and that they would appreciate that the people in California have voted to restore traditional marriage in that state.
Amy Smith is an attorney for the Alliance Defense Fund. ADF attorneys are involved in the defense of California Prop 8. Amy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, Dr. William Dembski is going to be our guest. He's written a lot about intelligent design. One of the best books I've ever read on intelligent design is by him. We'll have him on again right after this to talk about ID. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good news for teens.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
According to a recent study by the Center for Disease Control, fewer teens are getting pregnant, and fewer pregnant teens are opting for abortion. Stephanie Ventura of the CDC noted that compared with statistics from 20 years ago, teen mothers are more likely to keep their babies than abort them. Unfortunately, though, there are racial disparities in these otherwise positive changes. While two-thirds of white and Hispanic women keep their babies, just 48% of African-American women opt to do so. Pro-life groups point to the disproportionate number of abortion centers located in black communities to help explain this sad trend.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.